You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We are broadcasting from Takeaway affiliate KUT in soggy Austin, Texas today, where the state government has begun a new experiment in funding women's health programs. And it's really a program which gets into the middle of a very strident political debate, and we're going to talk about some unintended consequences. States, of course, are eligible to receive federal funds to provide health services for low-income women on condition that women must be able to choose from a range of providers, including provider Planned Parenthood. But Texas politicians who believe Planned Parenthood is a partisan organization driving efforts to maintain availability for women to get legal abortions wanted to deny all public money to the agency. So Texas began its own alternative women's health program as of January 1st. And Ben Philpott, senior reporter for KUT, has been following this story. Ben, welcome back.
Good morning again.
So this is pretty interesting. From a very strident debate on abortion comes an attempt to work around Planned Parenthood here in the state of Texas. How's it been going?
Well, so it goes back to 2011. The legislative session then, they said, look, we want to make sure that no state dollars for the women's health program go to a provider that is affiliated with an abortion provider. Well, that, you know, that's code, of course, for Planned Parenthood. So Planned Parenthood would then be cut out of this women's health program, which serves about 110,000 women in Texas. Federal government said, you can't do that. So we're going to no longer give you money for the program. The Texas Governor Rick Perry then immediately came back and said, well, that's fine. We will come up with the money on our own, launch our own program.
And what is the sort of ostensibly this is an impartial women's health provider in Texas. Of course, it comes out of anything but partial debate. What are the stipulations of this women's health agency?
Of the women's health program?
Yeah, here in Texas.
You know, it's doing the exact same thing that the one that was funded by the federal government did. The Texas Health and Human Services Commission says that they actually do a little bit more. They are providing a couple of additional services that were not allowed or not provided in the federally funded program. But you just can't use anyone who has that tie somehow with an abortion provider.
All right. So let's listen to a couple of voices here from this debate. We're going to hear from a Democratic legislator in just a moment who's a critic of this. But let's listen to the first cut that we have here. It's Linda Edwards-Gockel, who's a spokesperson for Texas Health and the Human Services Commission, really describing what this agency is all about. Jay, back in New York, you got that cut?
So that makes a total of 3,500 providers statewide. And what we have found when we've started to run these numbers is that we actually have greater capacity now than we did before with the Medicaid program.
Now, she's saying it's an improvement over federal support.
Right. They actually had a survey come out a day or so ago saying that they've added about 1,000 new clinics, physicians, service providers to the list of eligible agencies. But there are then critics who say, but your list is incorrect. We've got the state lawmaker from Austin who says, look, this list is not correct and people aren't going to be able to find the care they need.
Well, indeed. Donna Howard is a Democratic representative from Austin, says that in practice, if you try to use this agency, you're going to have problems. Listen.
One of my staff members actually typed in the zip code for 78701 and contacted the first 30 providers on that list and only found 5 of the 30 who actually serve women in the women's health program.
So essentially what she's saying, and I'm interested into what your reporting has found, that women who want a whole range of services are having trouble getting them just because of this Planned Parenthood affiliation with abortion issue and this attempt to create an alternative agency.
Right. Historically, this program has had about 45% or so of its clients that were served by Planned Parenthood. So you take Planned Parenthood out of the mix, and Planned Parenthood says, well, that could be, you know, 48,000-49,000 women who have to find a new provider. So the website, the state has a very nice website all set up. You type in your zip code and you can come up with this provider list. But then are those people actually providers? The representative says that she found hardly any. We made some calls on that list of 30, that same list of 30, just going in, typing the number in. And, again, found several that, no, they were not in the program.
Who's likely to have the most trouble here? Is it low-income women? And is it low-income women looking for prenatal care? Is it low-income women looking for family planning advice?
It's not prenatal, because they're hoping that these women will not then get pregnant because they will be have this family planning. But it is maybe the rural women. I mean, you know, you're cutting out Planned Parenthood clinics in some of the rural areas of the state. So who are the providers that are going to pick that up? How far will a woman have to drive to remain within this group?
Now, I suspect the Texas authorities say that, well, eventually the infrastructure will catch up, and we just started this in 2011, and eventually there will be some clinic that takes the place of Planned Parenthood that is no longer serving some of these rural areas.
Right. The state has no intention of going back and giving more money or giving any money to Planned Parenthood, although there is going to be some chatter during this legislative session of trying to increase funding within either the Women's Health Program or within family planning services that the state pays for in general. And hopefully that will help boost, you know, the number of providers. But for now, yeah, we just have to see how easily the women who were using Planned Parenthood can find new providers.
And the question is this entire controversy and this whole initiative is a disincentive for new providers to actually come to Texas and go to those precise areas. Ben Philpott, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Ben Philpott is a senior reporter for KUT here in Austin. We've been talking a lot about issues concerning women this week. Listener Caitlin from Carrollton, Texas, gave us a call with this suggestion.
I just think it's important that we invest in our men. We're not doing that. We teach our women we need to resist, you know, societal expectations, but we're not teaching our men the emotional vocabulary they need, the knowledge they need to love and appreciate women for who they are instead of treating us like objects.
Keep talking to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us online on Facebook or Twitter.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org. Additional support for The Takeaway comes from Independent Lens, featuring Soul Food Junkies. Filmmaker Byron Hurt explores the health advantages and disadvantages of soul food. Premieres Monday, January 14th at 10, 9 Central on PBS.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.